The following message was recorded live at Crossroads Church, a grace-centered community in Central Alberta.
Well, good morning. It's so good to see you here in this new year. So happy new year to you. We're going to have a couple weeks where we're continuing on in this sermon series on family and relationship and love called It's Complicated. I want to remind you, though, in a couple weeks, a new series is starting. Pastor Dan's going to take us through called Unfazed, and it's going to be looking on Psalm 23, talking about how do we enter into a life without fear in this season? How do we experience all the provision that God has for us? How do we find rest and rescue and protection, peace, and hope in this season? It's going to be a fantastic series and passage of scripture that we really need to digest in this season. In a season where we're bombarded by all these uncertainties and mixed messages and fear-mongering that's out there, how do we learn to rest and enjoy and be unfazed by what's going on around us because of our relationship with Jesus Christ? Here's what I'm asking. I'm not even ask today. I don't ask a whole lot very often. My ask today is that we would gather in groups in that season. It's 7 weeks long, that we would target that season to digest that series with one another. And what that means, we don't know when it comes to COVID. We don't know if we're going to be able to do that in homes physically, if we're going to be able to do that in the church, or if we're going to have to be fully online. But I'm going to ask that regardless, that we figure it out and we do it. And what I'm looking for in this season is people willing to say, I will host that experience. So whether that just means you're going to be the one that sets up that Zoom account and invite people, your friends, neighbors, family, people in the church to come and participate, or whether you can open your home, that you would choose to host a community like that. And what we're going to do is simply provide you probably with four questions. That's it. They're exact same questions every week. And what we want people to do is come, gather, or be online and simply share what God is sharing to them through his word on. What is he asking them to trust him in? What is he processing with them? And just to share with one another and join a community. So that's what we're hoping for. That's what we're looking forward to in this next season. So coming up in 2 weeks. And if you would email me, if you're willing to be one of those hosts, whether it's online or if we can in a home or in a group in the church, we're not sure, but we still need to get ready because regardless of where we will be, I believe God is calling us to journey together in community through this next season. And so this is a great opportunity in this series to do that coming up. So please let me know, send me an email, and here's my email because I'm going to talk about it anyways as we continue on in this series called It's Complicated. And so in the beginning of this series in November, if you missed it, you're coming in on week four, and that's completely okay. You can back up and go to the other parts of the series. We talked about how I'll choose you. I need to choose the person that God's put me with. Even though I've made vows before, I need to recommit in those vows. I'll respect you. We need to learn how to respect one another, and we need to learn how to love one another. And today we're going to look at how we can need to choose to invest in that person. And so during Wednesday nights, I've been available to answer any questions that have been bothering you, things that you're frustrated with. Denise and I, my wife, will be available on Facebook at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night to kind of unpackage a little bit of our story, how we've had to learn how to, in this week, invest in our family, invest in our relationships after a difficult time. So we'll share that a little bit with you and answer any questions that you have. If you can't make it Wednesday at 7, you can always pick it up on Facebook later on. It's there after it's over. So today we're talking about how do we invest? One of the things I know, so 2021, you know, I was thinking about 2021 last night. You know, when I was growing up, I'm obviously old now, but when I'm growing up, and you ever watch a futuristic movie? Often the date was like that. It was 2021. And in those times, you know, there was like holograms and people were flying around on flying cars and the highways were all in the air and all this amazing stuff in 2021. And here we are stuck in our homes. That's what we're doing in 2021. But what was true in those movies often is almost all communication was done by video phone. Well, we've got to do that. Lots of Zooming, lots of video, talking to my family all the time, my parents via video FaceTime. So I guess they got one thing right. I want the hover vehicle. That's what I want. But I'll wait, I guess, maybe to be 2022. Who knows? So I don't know, whenever we come, you know, and we meet together after a New Year's, the question always is around, well, what is it this year? What is it this year that God's asking you to invest in? What is he asking you to press into? What is it that you yourself are setting for goals? What are your desires? What are your outcomes? What are you hoping a year from today will be different about your life than it is today? And maybe you're in a difficult relationship right now, and that's what you're watching for. That's what you're all about, is like, I want my relationship to be different next year than it is today. Then you're in the right place, because that's what we're talking to. One thing I know about Jesus is this. He cares about two things in your life, for sure. He cares about you as a person and how you're growing in your character. He cares about your journey with him and who you are becoming. And number two, he cares about the people who he's put in your life. And his purposes are to minister to people around you through what he's doing in you. What's amazing is this: God often uses the people around you to actually work on your character. They're not two separate issues. And so even if you're in a difficult situation, you're in a difficult marriage, you've got relationships or coworkers or family or friends, and it's difficult, that God has allowed those to exist today because he wants to do something in you in this year. So I want to dive right into Philippians chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to look at this passage of scripture and see what it is that investment will look like for us in these relationships heading into this year and what he wants to do for us. Whenever the New Testament talks about expectations around how we treat people, how we interact with people, how we're to do life, whether we're to encourage them, love them, forgive them, serve them, all those things. Whenever scripture talks about your relationships, what it always does is connects it to Jesus' relationship with you. In other words, scripture never teaches us to do something for someone else that Jesus has not already done for you. You realize that? He'll never ask you to forgive anybody more than he's already forgiven you. He's never going to ask you to love someone more than he's already personally loved you, and on and on and on. And so in Philippians 2, we see this. If you have then any encouragement from being united with Christ, so if you're a Christian today and you've experienced love, forgiveness, and grace from him, and you're encouraged by that, which I sure hope you are, that's amazing. If you're experienced then any comfort from his love, the love that he's poured out on you, have you experienced that, he says? If there's any common sharing in the spirit, in other words, you've been united with him in spirit, and if you've had tenderness and compassion given to you, then please make my joy complete by what? By being like-minded the way that Christ thinks. Think like Jesus. Having the same love, in other words, love like Jesus has loved you. Being one in spirit, in other words, be connected with him. And one mind, in other words, follow the way Jesus has taught you to think. Renew your mind. So if you've received love, compassion, mercy, grace from your Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, then join with him. Join with the way he loves. Join with the way he thinks. Join with the way he serves. And get on board with his plan to be working through you in your relationships. He continues. So, this is what it means then. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. So in 2021, I'm going to challenge you. I don't know what, maybe your goals, maybe you don't set goals anymore, you've given up on all that. But maybe you set some goals and some objectives, and often, you know, it's I'm gonna lose 10 pounds or 20 pounds, or I'm going to exercise more, I'm going to eat less, or I'm going to study, I'm going to read more books, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. Here's what he's saying here. What if your goals for 2021 are not about you, are not about your selfish ambition, are not about vain conceit? It's not about you looking better, feeling better, or knowing more. It's actually not about you. What if your goals, because you're connected to Jesus Christ, could be different this year? What if they were in humility, your goals, and you were to value the people that God has placed around you above yourself. Wouldn't that be an amazing goal for 2021? That in humility, I would value the people that God has allowed to be a part of my life, that I don't look to what's interesting to me, that's my fancy, what I like, but I start to think about the interests of other people. What if I make their deal my deal? What if I make the things that they care about the things that I care about? What if I in humility, allow Jesus Christ to minister through me to other people this year in 2021? That would be fantastic. Why would you do that? Well, they always connect those dots. Well, because in your relationships, if you're connected with Jesus Christ, in your relationships with one another, Scripture says, then you have the same mindset that Jesus had towards you and towards other people. So in your relationships, we're to connect with the same way that Jesus treated other people. What did he do? Well, he was in very nature, he was God. But even though he was God and he had the position that was due worship and glory, he had all the rights. He has the right for everything. Everything here is his. You're his. He has all these rights. He has all this power. He has all this majesty. And yet when he was on earth, he never once, you realize it? Never once pulled rank on anybody. He always made the other person's deal his deal. He didn't grasp on to his deity. He didn't leverage it for an advantage for himself. He didn't do anything on earth to make his name great. He never wrote a book. He never made monuments or built buildings. He did nothing to make himself great. He simply came to put you and me first. It says, rather than doing that, rather than making himself great, he made himself, this is hard to believe if you really pause on these verses, but he made himself nothing. Literally would be, he emptied himself of what he had the rights to. He emptied it out and took on the nature. From the nature of God, he adapted the nature of a servant for you and for me. What if this year we had that mindset that Jesus Christ had in our relationships for other people? What if the very people today that are driving you crazy, God is asking you to change your mindset to his mindset about those people and begin to serve them the way that he has served you, the way that he has loved you? We're going to move to a time of communion afterwards where we have to remember. We remember what he's done for us, and it's out of that gratitude that we are able to do life with other people. It's because we have tasted the goodness of God. We have tasted the servanthood of God. Therefore, we can be called to serve other people. Well, maybe this seems to you like a big challenge right now. I am asking you, we're talking a lot about marriage. And maybe you're in a marriage right now and you're like, wow, that sounds fantastic. I heard it. I want to leave now. I don't want to know more. I've tried, Sean. I've tried to serve. I serve, they don't care. And I serve and I serve and I'm done. Well, then today's for you because I want to talk to you about whether you're done or not. And I want to talk about whether or not God's heart is for you in your relationships. Now, I want to go over to this table. I want to talk to you a little bit about how relationships work. Now, I had to do this in front of my wife in the first service, and she knows I don't know how to do relationships perfectly. But just because we know things, right, doesn't mean we know how to do them all the time. It's like our relationship with God. We can know a lot about Scripture. We know where to love our spouse. It's a whole other thing to love your spouse. You can know, right, that you're fully forgiven. It's a whole other thing to walk in forgiveness. You can know a lot of things in Scripture. You can know all of Scripture, And yet your character remain unchanged and your relationships remain unchanged. And so I wanna explain, though, how relationships work. And in the midst of every relationship, so every relationship that you have and every relationship that I have, so between me and you, there's a relationship. Now, it doesn't mean it's a great relationship. We might barely know each other or know each other well. But in every relationship between the you and between the me, there's a relationship. And that relationship has a lot to do with how we feel about that person, right? So either we feel a lot of good feelings about that person, fully we'd call it in love with that person, gaga over that person, or we look at them and go, ugh. Or somewhere all the way in between. And it moves, it changes, right? In fact, every interaction that you have with that person in your life is either making the relationship more invested in feeling for them, more love, or not. It's either a good experience or every experience, every day, and it's a constant thing. And so when I'm encouraging you to invest in these relationships, I want to talk a little bit about how this works. So newly people in love, young adults, newly married people, engaged people, this is the talk where they look at the rest of us and go, what's your guy's problem? This is easy. It's easy to be in love. It's fun to be in love. This is great. And why do you have to try so hard? And they look at marriages and they're going, I don't understand those problems. We're different. And they look at each other and they believe these things. And they say to each other, we'll be different. You know what? We're never gonna fall out of love. We're never always gonna feel these feelings. And because they're doing something, and what they're doing is something you used to do, maybe in your marriage or in other relationships. And so you're probably familiar with it. And I wanna remind you, what it looks like. What it looks like and how it works is this. You invest these little heart feelings, they're the red chips, okay? Follow me here today. And it's when I do something for that person, free will, freely given, and they receive it. I give, I do an action, I deposit, all these things. And people that are in love, they just like pour it on. It's after a while. If you have to hang around these people, they're the ones that are arguing about the opposite of what you argue about. Well, what movie do you want to watch? I'll watch anything. I don't care as long as I'm with you. What do you want to watch? Well, I don't know. What do you want to watch? And you're just sitting there going, just pick a movie. And they, you know, they can't decide where they're going to eat because they're so obsessed with, well, where do you want to eat? Well, I don't really care. I'll eat anywhere, anywhere you want to go. I just want to be with you. What do you want to do today? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't care. I don't know. And they can't make decisions. They can't even move because all they care about is the other. Their number one goal is it's you. I care about you and I want to do whatever makes you happy. What are your relationships? Have you been married for a while? What do you talk about when you go to pick a movie? You know what it looks like when I try to pick a movie with my wife? We sit there for a while and go, what do you want to watch? Oh, I wouldn't mind watching. I'm not watching that. Okay. Well, what would you watch? Well, I'll watch this. There's no way I'm watching that. You don't watch another one of those. You picked the movie last time. I picked the movie today. Well, if you pick that movie, I'm going to bed. All right, fine. Well, we got two TVs. You go watch a movie upstairs. I'll watch a movie downstairs. That's often what it looks like. Hey, where do you want to eat today? Well, I want to eat here. Oh, and I don't want to eat there. We ate there last week. Let's eat somewhere else. That's what it looks like after a while. And does that sound kind of often what happens? So something's changed, right? What's changed is it's not two people like we saw in Ephesians in the beginning of this series, in Ephesians 5, which is two people submitted to one another, two people here for each other. It's two people now competing for what they want, something has happened. And how does it happen? I don't always know. I know that the interactions somewhere along the line are not all positive. Obviously, we're not perfect people. We hurt each other. So the vows that we spoke, these are the vows. I did a wedding in December, and this is what the vows look like. And they repeat these things, and they love them, and they look at each other, and they believe them, and they say this, I will have you and hold you from this day forward. I'll be committed to you for better. I'll be committed to you for worse. I'll be committed for richer or poorer. I'll be committed whether you're sick or whether you're healthy, in joy and in sorrow. I will love you, right? I will cherish you, and I will be faithful to you. As long as you keep breathing, honey, I'm all about you. Those are your vows. Most of you said something like that. That's what marriage vows are. And somewhere along the journey in a difficult relationship, something changed. Something came between the you and the me. What became in between? We look at those vows and we see them differently. And we interpret them a little bit differently. We say, hey, remember what the pastor said? You are supposed to respect me. Yeah, well, you are supposed to love me. Well, I know, but you, the Bible says, you need to submit to me. Well, yeah, well, the Bible says you need, and all of a sudden we've changed, and what comes in between you and me is this little, oh, and all of a sudden it's, oh, you owe me. You made a commitment to me, and we've changed the vows to, those are the things you said you would do for me, and we forget that those are the things we're actually committing to do for them. And we get into a relationship that's filled with you owe me. And when you're in a you owe me relationship, you have moved into a contract, not into a marriage. You might have started in a marriage, but often it feels like you're in a contract. And when you're in a contract relationship, that's a 50-50 relationship. And what that means is if I make a mistake, I'm going to get hit. If I drop the ball, then the other ball is going to get dropped. If you make a mistake, then I can make a mistake. And you got to do that, then I get to do this. And you got to buy that, well, then I get to buy this. And you get to go out on the weekend, well, then I get to do this. And now we're in a 50-50 contract relationship. We're trying to keep it fair. And we forgot all about how we fell in love in the first place, which is always about what and how can I serve that other person? What do they need from me? So single people, before I get too far in this, if you're looking for somebody at this point, you get to be selfish. Please do. Please be selfish. You need to make your list. Check it twice, whatever you want to do. Make sure that you are not going to enter into a covenant relationship, that you're going to serve someone for the rest of their lives that's got some major flaws. So get picky. That's allowed. You are allowed to do that. Have high expectations. Set them out, write them out, make lists. I need a man who does this. I need a woman who looks like this, talks like this, functions like this, loves Jesus. These are my expectations. You are allowed to do that when you're single. But when you say I do, they're it. And that should scare you a little bit. If it's not, then I'm not doing my job. I want to scare you a little bit. Because what I find is when people are starting to fall in love, that's when they make compromises. Well, they're not really this the way I wanted. They're not, they don't have this going for them. And then now you're in a covenant relationship and those feelings aren't there anymore and now you're stuck. And so when you're single, you're allowed. You're allowed. I'm giving you permission. Okay. But I want to talk about this whole thing about investing again, because there's some things that when I'm telling you to invest, I want you to know how it doesn't work. Okay? Because if you go off, because a lot of you will argue with me today and say, I've tried. But there's things that happen when you're trying to invest that sabotage and you end up not having the heart feelings that you wanted. And you can communicate all you want and you can be active. You can start going on date nights. You can start having sit-down conversation times, meal times. You can go for walks. You can do all kinds of things. But if you're not doing them in the right way, they actually won't change the heart feeling, the heart of the relationship. Why? I want to talk about what prevents that feeling. And it's when you're doing activities, but they're being blocked from something. And I'll tell you what blocks them. Number one thing that blocks them is when these things are expected. See, when you fell in love, the thing about that person is when they were doing those things for you, you knew they had a choice. You knew that they picked you. And so I did these things, you know, for my wife. I wrote her cards and I picked her up and I drove her any place she wanted to go. I gave her flowers. I did all these things. She knew it was completely free will, free choice that I was doing these things. And when I would do those things, it felt amazing that someone would do that, go out of their way, think about them, plan, imagine something, and then do it for them. What happens in marriage later is if that becomes an expectation, the same activity that you used to do gets blocked and doesn't count. So if you say to your husband, you say to your wife, you know what we need to do to fix our marriage? Every Friday night, you need to take me on a date. That's what we're gonna do. And you're like, fine, we'll do that. You go out on a date and it goes in, but it didn't change how you felt. Because when something is expected, it doesn't count. It doesn't register. You know when it actually counts? Here's the bad part. Only when it doesn't happen and it's missing. You take it out. You need to tell me that you love me every day. But you know what? If they do that and it's expected, when it can go in every day, it doesn't feel right. Because it's an expectation that you have. Of course they need to do that. That's what they're told to do. That's what they're supposed to do. And yet you feel like it doesn't, I don't feel that love. But the minute that they don't do it, oh, it's a hit on the relationship. So the thing about expectations is they don't make you fall in love. They don't make you feel love. It's a debt. It's a, you owe me. And if you owe someone something and you pay them back, there's no reason to give thanks. You know what happens in an expectation marriage? Very little thank yous. Very little thank yous. Why would I say thank you for doing the dishes? That's expected. Do the dishes. Why would I thank her for making me supper? That's just expected, isn't it? Isn't that what they do? Why would I thank them for mowing the lawn? That's just expected. Isn't that what they're supposed to do? Wait, so I got all these activities going on. And on the one side, the person's like, man, I do this and I do this. I said I loved you last week. We went on a date. We watched a movie. All these activities. I cooked him supper. I care for his kids. I went to work. I worked long hours. And you're like, I don't understand. They're not changing how they feel. Because expectations wreck everything. It's why your bank never sends you a thank you letter when you pay your mortgage. Well, they'll send you a letter if you don't pay your mortgage. Right? And so what blocks it is you can go off and invest all you want, but as long as there's expectations that you have on this person or on this relationship itself, it won't be freely given and freely received, and it won't work. It won't work. And you'll be frustrated and you'll say, I tried that. We tried those things. We tried communicating. Another thing that blocks it, and this happens when we do marriages. I get scared when I talk about marriage because I know people are going to go off and try things and they're going to get even more frustrated. That's why I'm talking about this today. The other one is that doesn't count is not when it's just expected, but when it's suspected. So you go and you do an activity and you tell your wife, you love her this week. And if she says, wait a minute, are you just doing that because the pastor told you to? That doesn't count. Doesn't count. Wait a minute, are you being nice to me tonight because tomorrow you want to hang out with the guys? Is that what's going on here? Honey, you look really good today. Why are you saying that? What do you mean? What looks good? Be specific. So as soon as you suspect that person's motives are flawed, it doesn't matter all the activity. And then couples just give up. They're just like, that's it. I give up. I tried. The pastor told us to try to invest. I tried. I served. I talked to them. I told them I loved them. I respected them. I did all these things and it didn't work. It didn't count. Because as long as you're in a contract relationship where there's expectations in the room, won't change how you feel about each other. So like Jesus did, it's really hard, emptied himself, everything that was due him. You know what happy couples know? They all answer this question the same way when asked, what does your spouse owe you? When you're in a good relationship and things are going great, the immediate answer is, well, they don't owe me. That's a weird question. They don't owe me anything. When you ask a couple that's going through a difficult time and they're frustrated and they're angry with each other, what does your husband, what does your wife owe you? Well, they give you a big list. that you owe me this and this and this and this and this. And what I'm asking you today is that if you're going to go invest, there's two pieces that you have to understand. One is freely give, and freely receive. And what gets in the way of a relationship becoming a healthy, thriving relationship is expectations. What's expected, or what's suspected, or what's demanded. It just doesn't feel right. You can say to your spouse every day, I need you to tell me you love me. And they'll do it. It's just not going to do anything. You can't control. You can't guilt. You can't use the Bible as a weapon and beat them over the head with it. As I said in the other sermon, you cannot be the Holy Spirit in their life, who's there to teach and correct and convict. And when you try to do that to your spouse, all the activities you do will not work. You have to let it go. And you might say, well, wait a minute. Hang on a second, Sean. That scares me. If I don't remind them that there's things that they need to do, they're not going to do anything. Well, you can. You can remind them. You can encourage them. You can tell them it's your birthday. You can remind them to tell you love. You can remind them and correct them and help them and teach them. You can do that all the time, but you're going to end up with a jar full, but it's not going to be full of love. It's not how love works. And you know that when you fall in love, because that's not how you behave. You know who else does this? I told you this happens, and it's true. I had a couple come up to me after this service. When this comes back is when they finally stop trying to control their spouse and manipulate and have expectations, and they get to enjoy them. It's in, after I said 25, 30 years, I showed you a graph in one of the other talks, how the enjoyment level goes up. Those are the couples who say, my spouse owes me nothing. I'm just grateful that they're here. I enjoy them. And I had a couple say, no, you got to say 50 years, Sean, because at 50 years, it's better. You said 25. You don't even know anything yet. What happy couples know is that their job is to love and invest in the person that God has put in their life without any expectations in return. Why? Why would you do that? Well, I can't tell you any other reason except that's how Jesus has treated you. It's crazy. But that's the chance he took. That's what Romans said. Book of Romans, Paul writes, while we were still sinners, enemies of God, before we recognized him, cared about him, loved him back, he died for us. Emptied himself of all his rights, humbled himself as a servant, and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. And then he doesn't make us accept him. Who did he die for? I believe he died for everyone. Does everyone have a loving relationship with their Heavenly Father? No. Does everyone have a relationship with Jesus Christ? No. Because he knows that how love has to work. Love is emptying yourself of all what's due you, all expectations of what's coming back, and it's just offering yourself to that person and allowing them to respond to you. It's how you fall in love. It's how you stay in love. And I know it's a mess and it's complicated in the middle. That's why we're talking about it. Because we're scared. We're scared that if I don't expect anything, what if they leave? What if they reject me? What if they abandon me? What if they never say they love me again? What if they didn't want to spend time with me? What? It's true. But until they are free to love, you will not feel loved. It's a twisted way, but let me explain how I know my wife loves me. Because she can leave. There's no other way. If I control, and I've talked to a lot of couples over this last season, unfortunately, going through hard times. And when the couples, and I know you're going to be watching, and you probably think I'm talking about you. In fact, people say, you talked about me. No, there's a lot of couples going through a hard time. And when their separation happens, or they're in the midst of heading to divorce, they panic. Because their relationship has been a contract relationship for so long that what they want to know is how to stop it from happening, how to control the other person. How do I make them stop? How do I make them stay? How do I make them come back? How do I make them not date anybody else? How do I make them stay committed? How do I make them not leave? Can't. Not if you want a real relationship. And your Heavenly Father knows this about you. And some people have said the crazy things about their relationship with Heavenly Father with me too. They've said, you know what? I've walked away from God, but if God really cared about me, he'd come find me and he'd beat me on the head or something. He wouldn't have let me do that. He wouldn't let me run off on my own and do those things. So I don't know if, no, he would. Because this isn't a religion. A religion is a contract. If I'm good, God does good things for me. If I behave, good things come my way. And this is why in a contract relationship with God, which you can have, it's great. It's out there. Lots of people do it. It's called religion. But what happens at the end of the day is if God doesn't meet your expectations, you give up on him just like everyone else. Marriage truly is a covenant relationship, which is freely given, freely received. And so is our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And when you try to live one out with a person without experiencing one from your Heavenly Father, it's very difficult because you haven't tasted it. You haven't experienced it. I've experienced walking away in my relationship with Jesus Christ and to turn around and run back to him and find him only there with open arms and not judgment and condemnation. That's what a relationship with Jesus Christ is supposed to be. And as we enter into one, we're called to live that out with everyone else. I want to give you a passage of scripture. As we transition into communion time, there's a passage of scripture that God gave me last year. You can say that because I'm only a couple days old, so it could be any time last year. Gave me a passage of scripture in Luke chapter 13. And he brought it back for me today to share with you. And I don't know if it's just one of you that this is for, or there's a lot of you. But this is what he's saying, and I know there's some of you today that in 2021, you've already decided something. You've decided this is the year your relationship's not going to make it. And this is what he's saying to you today. Jesus told a story in Luke chapter 13. It's a man planted a fig tree in his garden, and he came again and again to see if there's any fruit on it. But he was always disappointed. Maybe that's been you. You're like, man, I keep coming to this. I'm in this relationship year after year after year. There's nothing fruitful about this relationship. Finally, he just said to the gardener, he got frustrated and he said, look, I've waited for 3 years for fruit. There hasn't been anything. Not a single fig has come from this tree. Nothing is coming from this relationship. It's not going anywhere. Cut it down. Get rid of it. It's just taking up space in my life. It's taking up space in my garden. It's sucking all the nutrients out, and it's not providing me anything. It's not giving me what I need. Cut it down and remove it from my life. But the gardener answered, please. Gardener's answering you today and saying, look, please, can you give it another chance? I've given it chances. What do you mean give it another chance? Give it another chance. I want you to do a couple things, and there's a couple things here you need to do. First of all is this, give it time. You know, I talk to people and they're like, I gave it a chance. You ever had this? Even with your spouse, let's be honest, you're in a marriage. You know, I tried really hard yesterday. You know, I was really nice yesterday. was really nice to you, and it didn't work. You didn't care. No, no, give it time enough to produce fruit. Give it a year, he said. Give it a year. Give it time. Make sure there's a year. And next, give it special attention. Don't just give it time. If you don't do anything different, if you don't invest in any relationship different than you've invested in last year, the relationship will be the same next year. It'll still have no fruit. I promise you that. Give it time, but not just time. Give it special attention and give it plenty of fertilizer. And then we'll come back next year and we'll see what happens. I looked at the passage and I said, there's some things that the gardener's asking you in your relationships to invest. Another chance. It's not going to make you. It doesn't make you do anything. Another chance. Enough time. Don't evaluate. Don't serve somebody for a day or a week or a month and expect fruit. Give it the time. Give it special care and attention. That means you're going to have to, in this year, cut other things out. It takes extra from you this year. And the last one is give it what it doesn't have. Fertilizer. You fertilize something. That means there's something missing. There's something in the heart of this relationship that's not there. And you need outside help. You need fertilizer to produce fruit. There's something you have to do. You dig around it. This other pastor says, dig around. Get to the roots. Give it attention and fertilize it. What is the root of the relationship? If you don't have Jesus Christ as the center of your relationship, I would start with that. Maybe it's counseling. Maybe it's, I don't know. What don't you have in your relationship today? Invest, invest, and give it some time. I'm going to pray for us, pray for our relationships. And we're going to enter in a time of remembrance to remember that how we're able to do this and live this way is because we first received from Jesus. Heavenly Father, I thank you today that you care about us. You're not calling us to live a life that's of misery. You're calling us to enter into a life where you can mold and shape us into your character. Heavenly Father, the people in our lives, there's people that we wish weren't in our lives, but you have placed them there. You've allowed them to be there. Heavenly Father, would this be a year that we take our interests, our selfish ambition, our vain conceit, things that are about us and what we want and what we need, and would we empty ourselves of those things? And in humility, would we consider others more important than ourselves? In Jesus' name, amen.